Keeping the kids is our subject this week, 32 sessions, the Lord willing, between Sunday and Sunday. And I grew up in a Baptist church, made a profession of faith when I was about 11 years old, as just about everybody did in a Baptist church, and was baptized and became a church member at that time, about 11 years old. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And in my case, nothing became new. I was not changed at all. In fact, it was a turning point in my life, about 12 years old, toward the world, big time toward the world. My heart was going toward the world even when I was still in the church. And so I have a lot of experience in this. But I was born again at age 23 after I had gone a long way away from the Lord, a long way away from the Lord. In fact, I was trying to practice Hinduism and such things at that point in my life when God had mercy on me and I was born again. That was 50 years ago. Keeping the kids is very close to my heart, and it has been something especially on my heart since I have had grandkids. I have 10 grandkids. The oldest one is about to have her 18th birthday, and I plan to, that's the last stop on this trip, that I will be there for her birthday. She's my oldest granddaughter, and I have been very, very, very concerned about young people in churches since, for this last 18 years, and more every year. And God has encouraged my heart and showed me from the scriptures that we can keep the kids, but most churches are not keeping the kids. And that's an absolute fact. And so we're going to cover a lot of territory, keeping the kids. We're going to see that the battle is fierce. And we're going to look at the very question, can we keep the kids? Can we? And then the issue of priority. And then the issue of conversion, salvation. And we're going to deal a lot with salvation. And then the home. Consistent Christian living in the home. Nothing can replace that. If you're living like a hypocrite in the home, then there's almost nothing that can overcome that. The husband-wife relationship is absolutely essential. We can keep the kids, by the way, according to the Word of God, but not easily. Not easily. It's going to require all these things. And I want to say also, by way of introduction this morning, that I write this book in humility very much. I'm the father of 4 children. And 10 grandchildren, but as I look back when I was young, you're usually young when you raise your kids. And I look back at a lot of failures, a lot. And I did a lot of things right, and honestly, I did a lot of things wrong. And so I'm not writing with any kind of arrogance like I have really. I was the perfect father, and I have all this together. And but I write it as a man who's learned and grown and wants to help the next generation. And my kids all know the Lord and are raising our kids, grandkids to know the Lord, all of them. The one thing I did right was marry the right woman. And that's big. And I said after I was saved, I said to the Lord, I'm not going to date. I went to Tennessee Temple. It was the largest Bible college in the world at that time. And it was huge. Thousands of students. Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I was 24 years old when I arrived there. 1 year after I was saved. And there were lots of girls. And it was a dating culture. Christian dating culture. Under supervision, the young people were dating. And I told the Lord, I don't want to date. I want to pay attention to what you've given me to do, which is study the Bible. I wanted to learn the Bible. That was my objective. And I want to learn this book. And so, Lord, you bring me the wife. I did want to get married. Lord, you bring her to be. You work that out. I'm not going to pay attention to that. You pay attention to that. And God did exactly that for me. Exactly that. Got to be ultra careful about who you marry.
Amen.
Let me say by way of introduction that grandparents need this teaching as much as parents. And the Bible says that the older saints are to teach the younger, Titus chapter 2. It mentions the older men, the aged men, and the aged women, and their responsibility to be an example to the younger generations and to teach them. And grandparents have a responsibility here. And so this is something for grandparents. We need to pay attention to this. We need to up our game on this thing. Every single individual has a part in keeping the kids. And let me say by way of introduction that those who are not in any kind of a perfect situation should not be discouraged.
Amen.
There's lots of people that are in a situation that is kind of a mess. In America today, cases where the parent is single and must raise the children without benefit of a dedicated marriage partner. Cases in which the parents didn't come to Christ until the children were older and already ensnared by the world. Cases in which divorce has resulted in a shared custody situation with an unsaved former spouse. Man, that's a mess. And that former spouse is opposed to your Christian faith. I know many cases like that. Cases in which the children are already grown. Your children are already grown. It's too late to exercise any kind of hands-on discipline. It's too late for that. I'm not trying to discourage anyone. There are things we can do no matter what the situation. God is powerful and God is merciful. There's things we can do in any situation if we won't throw our hands up and quit. And we just go forward where we are and do what God tells us to do and just keep going. Keep going. That's a big principle in the Bible. Just keep going.
Amen.
Be where you're supposed to be at each part of the day and the week. You're supposed to be at church? Be at church.
Amen.
Well, I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling frustrated today. I'm feeling angry today. That's why you need to be at church.
Amen.
That's simple. It's not rocket science. But it works. And that keeps you in the will of God. No matter what my feelings are.
Okay.
If you live by your feelings, there'll never be much to your Christianity.
Right.
You won't have any power. You won't be able to get answers to prayer. You won't be able to see anybody change. But you can if you just keep going. Even if your kids are grown and if they're in a terrible mess, there is something called fasting and prayer. That's very powerful. It was my grandmother's fasting and prayer, I'm confident, more than any other one thing, that resulted in my dramatic conversion from a hitchhiking drug lifestyle in 1973. The fasting and prayer of a godly grandmother who knew how to get a hold of God. And she didn't give up and she didn't quit. The wrong thing to do is think there's nothing that can be done. Let me say, by way of introduction, there's no perfect formula. Keeping the kids is a complicated matter. Each child's a sinner. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And has his own little will. The parents all have their faults. every one of them, as you know, lots of faults. Sins. We have the old man. We have a daily choice whether to walk in the old man or the new man. We have to grow. But let me say this, emphatically, that trying to keep the kids is better than not trying. And trying hard to keep them is better than trying a little bit. I've been amazed at how little interest there is in a book like in this book. Amazed in the last 13 years since it's been in publication. I thought it would just be eagerly, every parent that even saw the cover would grab it.
Yeah.
And read it and try to find something in there to help them. I thought that, but that is not true. If I go to a church with 100 people, this has been my experience. If I go to a church with 100 members, 100 people, and I take 5 copies of this book, there will still be a copy or two left at the end of the meeting, typically. We've got to have a passionate interest in this subject.
Amen.
Casual interest is not going to work.
Right.
You're wasting your time if you're just paying, if you come here with a casual interest. The main thing we can do is to create a right atmosphere in which God will work. I'm saying introductory things, but I'm trying to say some important things. The main thing we can do is create the right atmosphere in which God will work. By the way, this is a textbook, and these things are in your book, most of them. The Bible says we're laborers together with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Laborers together with God if we're saved. And that is the context of church building. And it's God's building. But God has His laborers. And if we do our part, God will certainly do His part.
Amen.
Nothing lacking on His side. Nothing. He is eager and passionate for these things. Those children belong to God. They don't belong to you.
Right.
Ruth doesn't belong to Pastor Lewis. Belongs to God. Put into the hands of the parents to raise for him. And give back to him. God's ready for this. The church belongs to God. This is not any man's church. If a church is a man's church, and it's not God's church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And our church in Nepal, we want to be that church. We want to be the Philadelphia church. That's been our goal since COVID. Our church came out of COVID much stronger than ever. Because we paid attention to that. We aimed for that. A little bit. We had to meet on Skype a little bit. But we were back meeting pretty quickly. Long before the government said so. Because God said so.
Amen.
And we came out stronger. And we started having big Bible conferences. When the government said we could only have, 25 people or something. And them all separated and masked up and all that stuff. And, we started, and God protected us.
Amen.
Right in the middle of a city. Everybody knew what we were doing.
Amen.
But we came out stronger than ever. If we do our part, God is going to do His part.
Amen.
There is no doubt about it.
Good.
We have to create an atmosphere. This is a fundamental concept. We have to fill in the home and the church. An atmosphere in which the Spirit of God will work. There's a certain atmosphere in which the Spirit of God will work mightily. And as laborers together with God, our part is to create that atmosphere. An atmosphere that's filled with Scripture. That's a major part. Filled with Scripture. Immersed in Scripture. An atmosphere that's full of sacred music. Music's powerful. The devil uses it very powerfully. But God uses it. God made music. God made man musical. It's a miracle. And God gave man his singing voice. It's a miraculous thing. No animal has a singing voice. And God made all of that for His glory. Sacred music. Music. What's in your home? What kind of music? Love. We have to have an atmosphere of love. Of Christ's love. Sound, solid, biblical preaching and teaching. That creates the right atmosphere. And continual call to salvation and separation, surrender and separation. A continual, all the time call to salvation, to born again salvation, to surrender, whole surrender and separation. Just an atmosphere in which that call is ringing all the time. And in that atmosphere, and then to remove any ungodly thing that would corrupt that atmosphere, and within that atmosphere, God mightily works. And He does, and He always does. In a nutshell, keeping the kids is a matter of biblical church, a biblical church, and a biblical family. That's it in a nutshell. The church and the family are the two primary institutions that God created. God created the home, the family, first, right at the dawn of creation. God created the church 2,000 years ago. And those are, and God has the government, but those are the two major fundamental institutions. And that God created them to work together. The church, building up the family, building up the church. That's what we see in the scriptures. And so many times today, we don't have that. We have maybe some families trying to do right in a church that undermines what they're doing. Or a church that's trying to do right and the families aren't on board. None of that works. We've got to work together, the home and the church, the home and the church. The church is the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. The headquarters for the Lord's great commission to reach the world for Christ. That's the church. The family's job is to raise a godly seed for Christ. Look at Malachi chapter 2. The family's job. The children belong to God. Ezekiel said, God said through Ezekiel, all souls are mine. God said they're mine. Of course they are. He made them. The children belong to God. What's the family for? Well, it tells us right here. Malachi chapter 2. Israel was in a mess. This is 400 years before Jesus came, the last book in the Old Testament. The last thing we hear from God before Jesus came, Israel was in a mess, as she usually was. And they were divorcing. And they were messing up the families. And God said in Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. So he's talking about marriage. Thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Man, there's a lot of treachery going on in marriages today. Oh, yes, until death do me part, or until another woman catches my eye, actually. Treachery. They were weeping. Look at verse 13. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hands. God said, don't bring me an offering. Your wife, your former wife, is over there weeping because you've broken your vows. You've committed treachery against her or against him. Goes both ways. So that, and then verse 15 explains what God's will is for marriage. And did he not make one? Marriage is two becoming one. It's no small thing.
Right.
It's no small thing, America. Well, we have no fault divorce. But that's man's plan, not God's plan.
Right. Right.
Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? Why did God make the man and the wife one? That he might seek a godly seed. That he might seek a godly seed. God owns that seed. And God wants a godly seed from that marriage. Very clear. And the church's job is to help that family be what it's supposed to be, that we might have a godly seed. And if the two institutions be what God tells them to be and do what God tells them to do, it works. You say, well, I know some exception. Well, maybe you do. But I'm telling you, it works. That he might seek a God. God's seeking a godly seed from your children. Let me say this. We're some introductory things this morning. And I'm going to try to repeat this at the beginning of each session. Keeping the kids. It's not a matter of religion or psychology. I need me a 12-step program. No, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't. I was all messed up in drugs. We deal with young men in Nepal. One of the things we do is deal with young men that are messed up in drugs and alcohol. We have no 12-step program. You know what we have? A salvation program.
Amen.
And it works.
Amen.
Keeping the kids is not a matter of humanistic principles. Oh, the world's full of advice about your kids. It's all humanism, man's thinking. It is not of man. It is not of the world. Keeping the kids is not of man. I don't have the power to do this. You don't have the power to do this. None of this. You don't have the power to live the Christian life. You don't have the power to raise your kids for Christ. You don't have the power to build a good church. Not at all. How much power? Zero, really. In ourselves, this is not of any of that. It is a matter of God's supernatural life, power, and wisdom. It's all His. It is born-again life. It is a life of God's amazing grace. Grace means not works. It is the life of faith. It's the life of the Spirit. The Spirit's given as our life. He is the life of God in us that are saved. He's ready to do everything that needs to be done. It's the life of the Spirit. It's Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me. It is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. That's what Paul said. What, I can jump over to Empire State Building? No, I can do whatever God tells me to do through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
It is a life of God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. It is the life of a pilgrim whose citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. A pilgrim life. If you're going to be properly separated, you've got to have a pilgrim mindset. I'm not a citizen of this world. I love America, and I am a citizen of America. But far more and better than that, I'm a citizen of heaven. And what happens in America does bother me. But my citizenship is in heaven. There's nothing wrong going on in heaven. You've got to have a heavenly mindset. If your mindset is here, focused on the here, you won't keep the kids. You won't keep yourself. It is a life immersed in God's quick and powerful word. God's quick and powerful word, is it? It is. It is. I went through no 12-step program. I went through salvation. And then I got into God's Bible school. I made a decision 50 years ago. This is going to be the book of my life. This is the book of my life. Let my friends do whatever they do. And a lot of them are already dead. Let them do what they're going to do. As for me, this is the book of my life. This is more thrilling than any video game. It's more thrilling than anything in this world. It is more thrilling. And so it is the life of the Spirit. All of those are different ways or descriptions of the life in the Spirit. It's not my life. It's not religion. It's born again. It's new life in Christ. Every day. So I don't know how far we will get along in this in these studies this week, probably very far with our 32 sessions. But we plan to publish a 2023 edition of this course. And some of these things we will not cover. There will be things in the book, quite a few things we will not cover, and I would urge you to read them and study them on your own. And the more you put into this, the more you're going to get out of it. The more you put into it. I've been very encouraged as we've been here the last couple of days, and members have told me how they made preparations for this week, and they made preparations to be here. And, man, that's it. Without that kind of commitment, this won't work. It won't work. It won't. It's not possible. But if we have that kind of commitment, that God's first. I mean, He's really first. And when God has business going on, then my business finishes. I have no other business but God's business. And I will find a way that God's business is first. We find a way. We know how to do what we want to do. You say, well, I got this job. Well, you can always quit a job and get the right job. I made an intention, a vow as a young, brand new Christian. I'll never get a job. Keeps me out of church and keeps me from doing God's business. Let me say this morning that the battle is very fierce. The battle is fierce. And so we're going to stop there for this session.